have questions. It turned into who should they start brawling out there yesterday, which I had another question about, you know, what's the biggest problem with the Guardians right now, other than, boy, they look like they'd rather be anywhere but playing baseball yesterday.
They've got no fight, Ken. That's the biggest problem. More areas than one.
Well, I was waiting until 7:22 to do that. There's a process to this.
Never mind then.
Okay. I mean, hell, Lima's out, so what the hell's the point?
No, go ahead and do your thing.
No, we'll
do it at 7:20.
Well, yeah, because then I get to ask Zach Meisel that question coming up at 7:40. See, this is how this
all
goes.
Too.
But when everybody's talking about, now, Zach, you know what? He's tougher than what he looks. I know that he looks highly educated, but that guy, he covered some pretty strong stuff and got some pretty nasty comments from people back in the day. He'll kick your ass. I don't know about your ass, but it'll kick a lot of people's ass. I mean, you're a veteran, for crying out loud. You know all the good stuff. About last night, coming up at 8:45 this morning, Nathan Zegar going to join us at 9:01. And if you're wondering about the Cavs draft picks, don't worry. Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News, he knows about them. He will tell you about them. And whether or not Tyrese Proctor, our new Cleveland Cavalier from Duke, could make the opening night roster, depending on what happens. So we'll talk about all that with Mike DeCourcy coming up at 8:22 this morning. So I've heard a lot of conversation about starters. We obviously have. We're getting ready for training camp coming up here in just a few weeks. By the way, 8 open dates for training camp, up from 6 last year. They were in the Greenbrier. I'm happy with 8 open dates. There should still always be something that is open for everybody to enjoy. I know a lot of teams are going to no open practices at all and all that other stuff. I'm glad that there's 8 out there. So I'm happy with that. You could always say, well, it could always be more. At least you got something. So I'm fine with that.
Enjoy your 90-minute practice.
Will there be autographs at the end?
Yes.
So then they'll have their night. By the way,
will there be puppies?
Now you got me.
I believe there will be puppies again.
Daryl's going to get me on a whole nother thing. Daryl's going to get me on a whole nother thing. I'm going to tell you right now. Training camp is for kids to try to get open. Training camp practices are for kids to try to get autographs. That's what it's there for. When I was a kid, and I went to Belichick training camp back in the day, which my God. And I remember they had like a joint practice with the Panthers, which was open. It was an open practice. And we got a couple of, because they had 2 days, but the second one was in the stadium. So we started in Berea, and then we went over to Old Municipal. It was awesome. My parents took me and my buddy Eric Perry. Awesome day. That was the birth of me being a football guy, and I didn't even realize it at the time. So that, I remember I got autographs at the stadium. I did not get autographs in Berea. But for the most part there, the only time that the fans really get a chance, and I mean, there's a couple of football guys in there. The only time you get a chance to get engaged is when they go team. You don't want them out there for 2.5 hours in the hot ass sun, because the parents don't want to be sitting there waiting for 2.5 hours in the hot ass sun before their kids get a chance to get an autograph.
Toughen these kids up, Ken.
Hell no. So you want a 90-minute practice? I thank the Cleveland Browns for a 90-minute practice if I have kids and I'm taking them to training camp.
Well, I thank them as well.
I can get in, I can get out, I can get my kid's autograph. We can go to Olive Garden there along the highway and get the hell out of Dodge if we want to, and everybody's happy. Yeah, what else you got to say to me, Daryl? Enjoy your 90-minute practice. 90 minutes more than what some other franchises are offering their fans.
You have to have tickets. They open up on next Thursday at 10 a.m. to the public.
Got to get them tickets, because, you know, you can't just go running in there.
Season ticket holders get a 24-hour advance.
Ooh. Well, that's what were we going to say, Daryl? I'm sorry. You were going to say something else?
You won't see much 11 on 11 early on. Because remember, they do the whole ramp up thing.
Oh, yeah.
And no, I will say that, all sarcasm aside, the one thing I am a little disappointed with.
What?
No open practices past August 4th. That is a very long time before the week 1 opener against the Cincinnati Bengals.
But they do like two. They have like 2 times where they go for like a week. They're gone.
I know.
What are you going
to
do?
I know it's out of their control. I'm just saying, though, that is a very long time to go.
Until they still have 4 quarterbacks by August 4th.
Yes.
That's how it's done. That's how it's done on a vacation show. That's the way it works there, Owen. Well done. You're having a good week. You're having a real good week. Because I heard Marcus Spears yesterday. He's talking about Joe Flacco's his sense of calm. It's going to make the Browns quarterback decision very tough.
The only thing that gives me pause is the fact that Joe Flacco is going to give them a sense of calm. with his presence, his obviously veteran, and he's played there before in playoff games, which is going to make it, to me, very hard for them to make a decision on one of those other three guys if Joe just shows them any semblance of being able to command this offense and put the ball where it needs to be.
That's Marcus Spears, NFL Live on ESPN. So this has been a big discussion the last couple of weeks here. Are they going to carry four quarterbacks into camp? And how on earth could you carry four quarterbacks into camp? And we had Mike Florio on a couple of days ago. Daryl's champing at the bit to say something here. Let me say this. Florio was on a couple of days ago. He thinks that Kenny Pickett is trade bait. Daryl, go ahead and say what you were about to say, because I think I got something else, but I want you to get it out there. Go ahead.
I'm shocked that people are twisting in the wind trying to figure out if the Browns are going to open camp with four quarterbacks. Yes, they are. It's a four-man race. Like, since when is this news? Why is everyone surprised by this? Now, is it... do I feel it's the most efficient way to figure this thing out? No, but I mean, this is almost like American Idol when it comes to this year's quarterback room. I call it the island of misfit toys. You've got Joe Flacco, who's in the twilight of his career. You've got Kenny Pickett, who played some of the most god-awful football you'll ever see. And believe me, we've seen a lot of god-awful football here, so maybe he will fit in well. And then you got... one guy who can barely see over the line of scrimmage, and the other guy, the only reason he's here is because they just threw their hands up and said, well, he's there, why not? Let's bring him in and see if we find something. Like, it really is the island of misfit toys in that quarterback room.
Daryl, you just said they're going to have 90-minute practices, 60-minute practices.
They
right?
can knock
like,
it out.
How are they going to figure out who the quarterback, between four of them, if you're only practicing, they get 15 minutes a piece during practice?
You know, you want to know why? This isn't going to be your old customary traditional training camp here where they're working on one primary field.
It's going to look like American Gladiators.
They're going to split this thing up. They're going to be running dual fields this year.
Actually, you're probably right. Well, you know what? That's more for people to see, because sometimes you get stuck on the wrong side of the field and they're way over there.
So guess what? Instead of your 90-minute practice...
are we split squatting?
So hell, you're getting 180 minutes of practice
right
in 90 minutes.
Boom. You know what that's called, Ken Carmen?
Making the most of your time.
Efficiency.
Yeah. You got to think of this logically though. I heard Mike Florio say Kenny Pickett's trade bait.
For what?
Well, this is what Daryl. You're gonna take me there. You're gonna beat me there before I take you there. Who on earth loses their quarterback during training camp and starts, I got to get Kenny Pickett for this franchise? I want to know that. Joe Flacco was still... how long was Joe Flacco a free agent? It wasn't forever, but they traded for Kenny Pickett before they got Joe Flacco because it seemed that they were waiting around to figure out what was going on maybe with Kirk Cousins. I don't know how much you might have believed or disbelieved that. I don't know.
Well, but Joe Flacco was a free agent in November in 2023.
So Joe Flacco was out there. Who's calling for Joe? Like, I got to have Joe for this football team. Now, guys, I know we think the world of Joe in this city. We went to the playoffs with Joe. Think logically. Who's calling for the 40-year-old QB? Maybe more people than Kenny Pickett. I'll grant you that. But still not that many people. The Browns are set. You just said it yourself. It's the island of misfit toys or whatever you just said. You got four quarterbacks. I have no quarterbacks on this football team from how long? What am I getting for Kenny Pickett? A seventh-round pick?
You know who the Browns are going to get calls on?
Who?
Shedeur Sanders.
Okay, well, they might get calls on Shedeur, and you're not going to give him up. So you're not giving him up. You're damn sure not giving Dylan Gabriel. Who's making this wild trade that makes me think, I'm okay with letting this guy go when we don't have a quarterback? If somebody's willing to call me up and offer a second-round pick for Kenny Pickett, I know there's a lot of fans that are going to make that trade, probably myself included.
First of all, that GM needs drug tested.
But if you were going to do that, if you're going to do something like that, wouldn't there be some pause going, well, you wanted him so bad, do you want to see what he has for your own football team? You'd probably just make that move. But nobody's calling in for second rounders or third rounders or even fourth rounders and probably not even fifth rounders at this point.
If you got a Kenny six Pickett. For him, it'd be a miracle.
So I'd rather just, and if it's a sixth round pick or certainly a seventh round pick, I'd rather just see what he has for my own team. Are we not, when we talk about Kenny Pickett? Well, you know, they're trying to turn him into our Sam Darnold or our Geno Smith or maybe even our Baker Mayfield, ironically. Have we not had discussed that ad nauseum already? So now I'm just going to trade that guy if I brought him in to see if he could be that guy for us? Joe Flacco, again, who's calling on a 40-year-old quarterback at that juncture? If they are calling for Shedeur Sanders, are they all calling for Dylan Gabriel? I'm the one that needs quarterbacks. I'm the one that needs good young quarterbacks. Why am I trading either one of these guys? So who's trading who? That's why I'm like, guys, unless somebody comes up with something that they really want him bad, I'm going in the season with four quarterbacks. My bigger question is, what position group do I take from to put four quarterbacks on an active roster? That, and I want to ask Nathan about that at 9:01, because we always say, well, you can carry four quarterbacks, you carry four quarterbacks. I think we're starting to get used to that idea, but out of a 53-man roster, where am I picking from? Wide receiver room, you're already deathly thin there. DBs, is Jim Schwartz going to allow that? You always need a bunch of DBs, and hell, I can make you a case for just about everybody on this depth chart at the back end of that depth chart. Offensive line, that's much easier said than done. I know a lot of people don't care about offensive linemen, so they're more than willing to take away a backup somewhere, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves in a spot where we need any of these guys.
Your 53rd player on your roster is going to be the fourth quarterback.
Yes.
Which means you'll probably lose a back end of the roster, special teams player, which that's usually a linebacker, maybe a DB. But that's what you're losing. You can't cut wide receiver. I don't know, tight end. Do they go with two tight ends instead of three? Which
It's a 12 personnel offense. Why am I going to go with two tight ends instead of three all the time?
I was just about to say, you can't do that.
I'm not being mean to you. I'm just saying, like, Blake Whitehart, who sounds like a wrestler.
Well, they've gotten creative in the past with putting guards out at tight end and fullback and things like
that. Yeah, but no, they're going to keep three tight ends on the roster. I was just throwing that out there facetiously.
I'm sorry.
They had Yoda Froholt play every position.
You had him to throw.
But the unit that will be hurt by keeping that fourth quarterback will be the special teams unit, because that 53rd guy on your roster is a special teams player.
All right, I have an answer to my question coming up here in just a moment. 216-474-0092. If it comes to a trade, I don't think that there's much of a trade market for any one of these four guys. I wouldn't want to trade Shedeur Sanders. I wouldn't want to trade Dylan Gabriel. I know there's some people who think that you're wasted away. They like Dylan Gabriel enough to draft him in the third round. I don't want to trade Dylan Gabriel away. I'll see what he has. I don't want to trade Shedeur Sanders away. I'll see what he has. That's a flyer. Kenny Pickett, you traded a fifth-round pick in DTR for. They clearly like him somewhat. All right, fine, because I don't think what team in the NFL is going to lose their starter or anybody, backup or anything, and go, we got to have Kenny Pickett. Because what was the question when the Browns traded for Kenny Pickett? Why would they want Kenny Pickett? Yeah, same thing with a lot of teams, especially if you've already got a draft that you've been through. Other free agents have been signed. These teams would probably go with their other guys or with their rookies. When it comes to Joe Flacco, what are you giving up for a 40-year-old guy? You're not giving up much. So I'll see what I have with the four guys. Again, my issue has always been clear. You're trying to start to win football games, which some people go, well, it's a tank season. That's why you just cut Oboe Okoronkwo. You probably cut Oboe Okoronkwo. I don't think it's just because of money. A lot of people brought up money. They got the money. I think that they want to see what Isaiah McGuire has, and you got to see what he can do in football games. And I think they want to see what if Alex Wright is healthy, if he can help out. And they do like that Cam Thomas guy. They do like him. So we'll see what they do with it. And you got Shoyinsky. Yeah. Shoyinka. Yeah. Sorry.
What did you say, Shoyinsky?
Shinsky, I'm not sure.
Owen, can we get a replay on that?
I'm a football guy, all right? I'm not a name guy. I'm a football guy, damn it. But I think that I don't think it's a tanking thing per se. I think that they were like, well, we can get as good an output and we can give these guys the reps and the experience and the play. But when it comes to the quarterbacks, like, all right, I still want to start Joe Flacco for the season. I imagine they're probably going to go with Kenny Pickett and upset me. Okay. I'm used to them upsetting me. I'd rather go with Joe Flacco because I want to do right by the vets that are in the locker room. You got plenty of games where you can see what guys have. I at least want to try to start the season on the right foot. But then again, I should say, I don't know how much of a good job Kenny Pickett's doing in that locker room to become a leader in that locker room and a logical guy that can take over the starting reins of this football team. I'll have to be open-minded coming up next month, Daryl.
I don't know how any of these guys can be a leader in the locker room, but this has been a problem that this franchise has had to deal with for years and years and years. I'd say the last quarterback that you could argue was a leader in the locker room or tried to be a leader in the locker room was Baker. But then you get into the quality of the leader in the locker room.
But in that 2021 season, you know they lost that faith in him.
Yeah.
For a million different reasons, but for two very big reasons. They lost that faith in him in that year, and it's cost us ever since.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, you know, to your point, look, you can sell Joe Flacco to the fans. I don't know that you can really sell Kenny Pickett to the fans. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know starting either one of these quarterbacks. I've said it's football malpractice to put one of these rookies out there week one. I just don't think that's the way to go. I don't think either one of these guys is NFL starter ready just yet. But when you watch both these rookies on the practice field, Ken, you see why the Browns were interested in both players.
Yeah.
You see the raw talent.
Yeah.
But the key word there is raw. It's raw talent. It's not polished by any stretch of the imagination. That goes for Dylan Gabriel just as much as it goes for Shedeur Sanders. Look, the odds seem to favor that Kenny Pickett would be the guy. I honestly don't know what they see in Kenny Pickett. I watched him for 2 years with the Steelers. Now, the excuse has been, well, he had Matt Canada as the OC, and they couldn't run that guy out of Pittsburgh fast enough, and that was an unmitigated disaster. And if you look at Kenny, he's got 6-7 comeback victories so with the Steelers there in the fourth quarter, so he seems to have something there, even though the first three quarters are an abomination. I don't know if there's going to be any tangible answer to come out of the quarterback situation this season.
My problem with Kenny Pickett, I'll find out this year. Maybe they'll hopefully prove me wrong on this, is the whole, like, we've had a couple of people on, and they've brought up, you know, how Mike Tomlin lied, the quote, lied to Kenny Pickett about the offense. And Matt Canada don't know what he's doing as an offensive play caller. Again, there's a couple of guys in this league, or in football in general, that if you put something out of them about social media, you will get a list of coaches lining up on your phone to rip that guy. And the list is short, but Matt Canada's on that list.
Where him and Hugh Jackson.
I said something nice about Matt Canada one time, and my phone lit up, and I go, good God almighty. He is not well-liked amongst a lot of coaches. For a plethora of reasons, well, we don't have to get into. But what I wonder about, and this could be true coaching malpractice over on there, he was a first-round pick. You're supposed to do what you can to support a first-round pick. You've made a declaration to the entire world you believe in this man and a first-round pick. I know there's a lot of fans that want to pretend like we've made this great declaration to the world that we love Shedeur Sanders. Day three is day three. I don't give a damn what anybody says. When you take a guy like that, you've made this declaration. So I'm assuming right now, or I've assumed for a while, that he didn't do himself any favors. He didn't help out. And I know they ripped him out the door, and there's been plenty of people to try to dispel that. I'm willing to still give him a chance. You know, I don't hate Kenny Pickett. I don't think he's going to be a very great quarterback, but I don't hate the guy. But I go under the assumption that it's their job to know more than I do. And some of the stuff with the OTAs, it's fun to talk about. I find it to be kind of fun and kind of entertaining, but I leave it there. There's stuff that they're looking for that we think we're looking for, and it's not what they care about. They care about when we did OTA stuff, they care about the nomenclature, what they know, what they can say, what they can repeat as far as the play call, not sending guys to the wrong spots, the proper coverages or the proper schemes for the offensive linemen. That's what they care about. That's why this whole stuff, well, he was 7 for 9 and 2 touchdowns. They don't give a bleep about any of that.
No, they don't.
Well, look at his mechanics from where it was. They're trying to work on mechanics. I don't think you can just fix mechanics in 4 months, especially when you don't have a pass rush coming after you. So you got to dip them in hot water again, in the words of Sam Ritigliano. You won't be able to do that until the preseason games. Those things are so far less. The one with the completions, yeah, you want to be able to complete passes, but you want to make sure that they're running the right routes. And that's where it comes into the know-how, how able you are to pick it up, how likely you are to pick it up after working at it. Can you do it? Can you do it where they can trust you to try to do it on your own? That's what they care about at that juncture. And when we get into training camp, like Daryl's right, there's going to be a whole lot of things that they work on at the same time because they have so many different guys that they have to get reps to. And you don't want to just have Shedeur Sanders throw into the back end of your wide receiver room because your wide receiver room ain't that great to begin with.
Or so just standing around for half the practice.
You don't want him standing around for half the practice. So there will be times where Shedeur Sanders throws to Jerry Jeudy, and there will be times where he throws to the kid from Kent State. There will be times where Kenny Pickett does the same, and I'm sure Joe Flacco and Dylan Gabriel do the same. So I'm going to be open-minded about all of them as best I possibly can. There's guys I do want to see do well. I'm dead on. I want to see Shedeur Sanders be able to someday take the job. But I'm not going to say he doesn't have to earn it. He has to earn it. I don't think I have to see him in a football game at the end of the season. So many people get confused by that, and I think you're as desperate as any team is for a starting quarterback. If they can't earn the job, then they've told you without you having to see anything that that guy sucks and is not an NFL quarterback. Because if you can't play for this team, you're not a starting caliber quarterback at all in the NFL. I want to see him because I think he could be a big star, and I think it's a great story. And I don't mind Shedeur Sanders whatsoever. I got to see it first. I'll be open-minded towards all of them. Yeah, there's guys I'm rooting for, but I'll give them all a chance. Joe, even in as much as I want to start the season, I'll tell you this, Joe, or Daryl, as much as I want to see Joe start the season, I think he has less of a chance. I want to give him less of a chance. He's 40 years old. So what's my future? I don't have one with him.
Look how they handled the mandatory minicamp. I'm sorry. First 2 days, Dylan Gabriel got the reps early on. The first reps of the team periods. And then on day three, they're like, okay, Joe, go ahead and go out there. Yeah.
So there's some guy off East 55th at a stoplight right now going, well, why do you want to give Joe a chance in the first place? Well, if they do believe in Joe and they do win some games, and this is more than likely not very unlikely going to happen, if they do win some games, well, then you see how far you can go with Joe. If you find yourself in a position where you're winning football games and heading to the playoffs and none of these other three guys, it's not like it's a first-round guy. There's a difference in the expectation there. If none of these other three guys can unseat him, then yeah, go with Joe for the rest of the year, and we'll figure it out after that. It's the same way the Steelers do it, except they're guaranteeing Aaron Rodgers is a starter. But you're going to go as far as you can with the old guy, and then when the wheels do naturally fall off, because they will, okay, then let's see what we got with the other ones, with Kenny or with the pups, and we'll see what they do. What's the biggest problem with the Guardians right now? Around the room.
They can't hit a baseball.
That's one.
They can't field the baseball.
Oh, is that the same thing with you?
Yeah,
have
no offense.
Well, no. Don't be guessing at the biggest problem. I want to know your biggest problem with the Guardians right now, Daryl. That's
Their offense puts me in a coma. That's my biggest problem. They're not. They can't hit. They're not entertaining to watch at
all.
Can't
even getting into a position to manufacture a run.
Yeah. I think my problem is any semblance of consistency and the lack thereof. You have a day where you have a pitcher who, you have a guy like Tanner Bibee who goes into the seventh inning and you get mad at Steven Vogt for leaving him in for the seventh inning. But I have a lot of promise in him. Then I have a day like yesterday where the wheels come off and it ain't even Tanner Bibee's fault really in the third inning because Kyle Manzardo goes and plays defense with no arms. I don't even put that as much on Tanner Bibee as I do everybody else. You have no consistency in fielding. I've been bitching about, everybody's been bitching about hitting for since the original core broke up years and years and years ago. That's going to be part of it. I wish they were better offensively. I got no consistency. Last year, when they were much better last year, I don't think that they were some murderer's row of a lineup, but they were aggressive in their approach.
Get them on, get them over, get them
in. And that's part of the reason that so many people got upset with Andrés Giménez, is that you had all these guys who were going after it and were very aggressive at the plate and wanted to know and didn't want to leave strikes out there that they just watched go by. And then I had a tentative guy out there who was kind of afraid of the baseball. And that's, don't take that from me, that's Zach Meisel, who's coming up at 7:40 this morning. Like, I think my biggest issue is if you have a good day hitting, you have a terrible day fielding. Or like yesterday, you had a terrible day both. You have a good day pitching one day, your bullpen's bad. You have a good bullpen, but your starting rotation was terrible, so you had to make up after that. Very rarely, Emmanuel Clase, as good as he could possibly be, or now we got a problem with our closer role, and we only have about another month before we have to figure out whether or not we can trade him. There's very little consistency out of it. If they were playing with any bit more consistency, they'd be a little bit over 500. I think that this is kind of who they are. And what also makes it frustrating is that when I don't have any consistency, I'm wondering where the pups are. I'm wondering where the guys are from AAA. I can't find him. Maybe Zach Meisel can. He is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Read his latest in The Athletic, where there is something that it just keeps going to my inbox. Zach, you've written many articles. Why does the same article, it's starting to feel like 2023 all over again? It just keeps in on my inbox, like, read me. You gotta. I'm like, I don't want to read it. Don't make me read it. I'll read everything else Zach writes. I don't want to read it because I don't want to live over that. It keeps coming after me, Zach. Is this starting to turn into 2023?
Yeah, it's felt that way for a while now. Maybe if you'd read the article, things would change.
No, Zach, I don't want... Oh. okay, I might be able to change the future then?
I don't know.
Right, the hell, damn it.
We've just been watching the same episode of a crappy sitcom over and over for like 2 months now.
What was the worst sitcom you ever saw?
Ooh, I don't know. I've watched like four TV shows and I just rotate the same ones over and over.
You want to hear a very hot take, a very spicy one that people are going to get very mad at me about?
Yeah, let's do it. We've got like, what, 15 minutes left?
Big Bang Theory.
That's terrible.
Wow, Zach's with me on it. Okay, we'll discuss it at another time. Daryl, you got to turn your mic on.
I'm with you as well.
Wow, 3 out of 3 here. Oh, and I think he's going to think we're idiots, and he likes the Big Bang Theory, right?
Didn't it last like 12 seasons? Oh. Who was watching that?
They did a spinoff to Young Sheldon or something.
Yeah, brother. Yeah. That's what I want to see. More Sheldon. What you got, Owen?
I got nothing.
Okay, good. All right, Zach. Can they turn this
thing? Can any of those guys on the Big Bang Theory hit a baseball?
Can they get
That's
this,
all I care about.
Can they get this thing turned around here? Because it's looking more and more listless. Like, it's like if the effort was there, that's fine. But, I mean, you're just – now they're taking their eye off the ball. When you have more errors than you have hits, it's not just a bad day. I mean, it's been a couple of weeks now where it's like, man, you guys are really sloppy here. This is ugly.
Yeah, I took the family to the game yesterday. It was my daughter's first game ever. And she's 7 months old. And when we got back in the car, she said, Daddy, I never want to go see a baseball game again. I mean, that's what this offense is doing to little kids and babies who can't even talk yet around Cleveland. So I think context is important here, right?
Yeah.
Ken, I've heard you in recent days, because I just can't get enough of your show, talking you. About how like you thought they were going to be about 82-80, and if they can find a really strong rotation as a foundation by the end of the year, that's a positive. And like all that stuff is true in a sense, but it's admitting – it's almost raising the white flag in a way, right? Like it's this team went to the ALCS and we can say, well, they overachieved last year and this is who they really are and they're so young. And but it's like you don't always get to dictate your own timeline. And when you make the ALCS, you shouldn't take that for granted. Like you should capitalize on the position you're in. And how many years in a row are we going to hear, well, this is a young roster and you have to let them develop? And blah, blah. Like that's by choice. We've been hearing them say that for 5 years now. So I think, like, yeah, I'm encouraged by the rotation. I think they have a really good rotation in the making, and they've been trending in the right direction for a couple months now. And like, I think it could be really good and good for a long time. They've got these guys under control for a while. Saying that, also, like, starting pitchers are ticking time bombs. So you need more than that, right? And with the offense, I've been a little surprised at just how stubborn they've been to not change much. What have they changed? Gianquenzi Noel and Brian Rocchio are in AAA. That's it. Like they're still trying the same stuff they were trying in April. And I don't think Chase DeLotter is going to come up and like one 23-year-old is going to completely flip the lineup on its head. But like, again, sometimes you have to make decisions that weren't what you, on the timeline you were planning to make them a few months or a few years earlier. And they've just been so rigid with that. I don't know. I just like this line. They're not winning a World Series with this lineup. I think that's pretty clear. And the World Series should have been the expectation and should have been the goal coming off the season that they had.
Zach, where's the fight in this team? I still can't believe they let Jose Ramirez get beaned yesterday and they did nothing.
That's the other thing. Like, it's really, there's a weird vibe. I don't know. I think, and maybe, you know, Ken, like this does, there's a lot that's just reminiscent of 2 years ago where it's almost like, you know, you are what your record and what your stats say you are. You're not what you think you are. And 2 years ago, I just remember having these same conversations where it was like, you know, the team saying, oh, well, like, we'll be fine. We just got to, you know, it's a long season. And, you know, it is, but that's not a guarantee that you're going to turn things around. I think it's the same thing here where how many times have we heard Stephen Vogt in the last few weeks say, oh, well, like, we just didn't look like ourselves tonight. Well, no, if you say that 5 times in a span of 2 weeks, then that's probably who you are. And so I just – I'm with you. Like that was set up to be the perfect opportunity to get angry, show some passion, fire up the troops. And, you know, I think there have been a couple instances where maybe there was a call that didn't go their way, or certainly a shaky strike zone, and they haven't, you know, whether it's the manager, whether it's players sticking up for each other, like they just, I don't know. I think listless was the right word.
So you're saying Vogt should have done more.
I thought if you're ever going to get angry, and he barked a little bit at the Blue Jays dugout, but like that was, the conditions were perfect. Your team looks completely lifeless. You're in a really bad funk over the last few weeks, and they just knocked your best player out of the game. If there was ever a time to get mad and make a scene and, I don't know, charge a little bit of energy into the dugout, I mean, they had more errors than hits.
Yeah. Like,
you need some energy. You need something to change, and they just, I don't know.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, hey, how much of an effect does that have in a clubhouse? And because I have to ask you, and you could say, hell, Ken, I don't know, but you're as close to him as I can find. So would it have like an effect on the clubhouse? Like, man, this guy ain't even going out there. Like, we're going to go. They're not going to make a conscious decision to go through the motions, but you understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to make Bo Naylor go 3-for-4, but it's it lasts at most until the next night, right? But don't they just need to like show some sort of life and energy? Like when you have an inept offense, you just look like a completely lifeless team. That's true for any team that is built this way. And I mean, for the fans, I know, like, how boring of a brand of baseball has this been for a couple months now? So I don't know. It's just, it's a way to show some fight. And I, you know, when they came back when Lane Thomas hit the 3-run homer the other night, when they lost 10-6, in post game, it was asked, like, what does it say about this team that the way you guys fight back? And I'm sitting there laughing because, like, every team thinks that, like, they're the comeback kids. You play 162 games. There are going to be some games where you're down big and then you're down a little less big. And that doesn't mean that you're, like last year, I thought that team came back and they showed a lot of fight and et cetera. And I don't think they've had that this year at all, honestly. And so you are looking for signs, for some evidence of just that you guys have the metal to stay in games and to deliver the things you need when you need them. And I don't know. I just haven't had that. And maybe it's just because they don't have enough talent in the offense, and that's just, you know, nothing's going to change that.
Zach, you said that, you know, even if they bring up Chase DeWater, that's not going to change a whole lot. But I have to ask, why are they so afraid of bringing up Kafis and DeLauder? The failure card got played yesterday. That drove me nuts. But just why do they refuse to do it at this point?
Right. And so let's not get it twisted. Like, me saying DeLauder isn't going to flip the lineup on its head, that he should be up here. Like, that's not saying that he deserves to be in Des Moines, Iowa right now, getting two hits every night. So the reason is because they set these plans and they don't deviate from them. And the plan with DeLauder is they want to build him up so that he can play 5-6 times a week and prove that he can stay healthy. Of course, the counter argument would be, well, wouldn't you rather him just do that at the major league level if he can hit AAA pitching, which he can, because he is just as likely to get injured in the minors as he is the majors, of course. So the real reason, like the part of the reason behind that is they don't want to give up on getting enough at bats for Nolan Jones and Lane Thomas and guys like that who are already here. And, you know, it's a poor excuse. There's enough room to fit into Lauder or to fit in Kafis. Kafis is more blocked by Carlos Santana. You know, maybe they keep floundering. They trade Santana at the deadline, and then you'd certainly see Kafis for the final 2 months. But for DeLauder, like, there shouldn't be anything stopping him from coming up. I mean, you can play right field 4 or 5 times a week. You can still play Lane Thomas. You can still play Nolan Jones. Just you'd have to play him in center a little bit. I don't think they love that, but, you know, they've done that. They've moved guys to the outfield who hadn't played much outfield. You know, there are plenty of excuses. I just think all of them ring hollow when he's crushing it in AAA. You were planning on him to be up here at this point anyway. Also, like, I know he's been injured over the years. The guy was drafted 3 years ago. Like, this isn't some, you know, this isn't Travis Bazzano we're talking about. So, it's beyond time to get him up here and to, again, just inject a little bit of life into a lifeless offense.
Is it monetary at all, the reason why he's not up here? It's not?
No, that's all past. I mean, you've seen the rash of, like, even guys from last year being called up. And so all those deadlines have passed. It's just, they had this plan, and they're sticking with the plan.
Is it? Because now you made it out to be, and rightfully so. I mean, that is a loser's lament, because I don't think we're going anywhere this year, but I would be happy if we, you know, came out with four pitchers under 26 that look really good. Do you think that that's a possibility? Like, they're in this weird year where I'm going, well, not all is lost. You're still above 500. It's not like you're the Pirates, for crying out loud here, but... And so, Zach, it stops me from getting really mean about him, because I'm like, well, I can see where you're going. It's just, I can't say that word on the air. It sucks that you're coming off an ALCS and then this is what it is, and we're always perpetually getting ready for the next year or the year after that.
And your best player turns 33 in 2.5 months. I think that's, and Stephen Kwan's a free agent in 2 years. I mean, like, that's the issue. It's, what is the timeline? What is the year where you feel like you have the best shot to end a drought that dates back to 1948? I don't even think that's a thought that goes into the front office's minds. I think they focus on more future than present. But, I think the context is critical here, because if this team had lost 100 games the last couple of years, and they were sitting here at 40-39 with a rough offense and a promising pitching staff, I think we would be sitting here saying, man, 2026 could be the year. It looks bright. But in light of what happened last year, and it was the same thing in 2022, and then going into 2023, they didn't make the right moves and they floundered. But, like, at least you can say that year they tried. They got Josh Bell, they got Mike Zunino, and it just didn't work. But this offseason, they didn't make moves to get better, to capitalize on the fact that they were in the final four with three other financial juggernauts. And this is what you have. And so I think for a lot of people, it's frustrating. Even though you're in the wild card race, even though the rotation is promising, like, those things can be true. And there can also be justifiable frustration from a lot of people watching this team, because it didn't have to be this way.
Well, I've read you, you've listened to me, so let me ask you this. Am I making an excuse then about this year if I'm talking about the TV deal getting pulled out from underneath them?
Here's the issue with that for me, because I get it. It's not always going to be Pollyanna for an owner who owns a sports team, because there are things that happened. The pandemic happened and they pulled back, and then the pandemic stopped happening and they kept pulling back. You know, they reached record payrolls after they made the World Series in 2016, and I give them credit. And they'll say John Sherman had nothing to do with that, but John Sherman had something to do with that. And every team in Major League Baseball got a $50 million check from the sale of BAM Tech. And, like, the conditions were perfect there, but it's just such a flash in the pan. And sometimes when you're on the precipice of ending a 77-year World Series drought, maybe you have to get a little bit uncomfortable with your finances for 1 year. And then in a season where, you know, you don't think you really have a chance to go for it, that's when you pull back. I don't think this was the year you pull back. And so, you know, they just, again, like, they have these plans and they stick with them no matter what. And I think that goes for the payroll. I think it goes for the prospects. And a lot of times it's smart. Like, don't get me wrong. They've had success. And, like, sometimes you have to be stubborn and you can't act on emotion. But I think there are some instances where maybe they're too stuck in those ways. And, you know, I think it's hurt them this year.
I respect a lot of people. I respect Zach as much as anybody, probably more than anybody when it comes to baseball. Read him on Twitter follow him on Twitter at Zach Meisel. Read him in The Athletic. Zach, thank you very much for the time this morning. All the best.
You got it, boys. Take care.
Zach Meisel on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I thought there might be a little bit of a... Zach can explain some things, and I Wait, there's no explanation there for this. There's no excuse there either. I mean, when he's talking about it, I've used the TV deal like crazy. Like, hey, you know, they pulled it out. I used the Twins. And he's like, you know, this was year that not they pulled back, but they've been going by their plans, and they've done their plans, and they will always go to their plan every time. And for the most part, it's worked. It's not working this year.